वासुदेवे भगवते भक्तिम उद्वाहतम निदाम ज्ञान वैराग्य वीर्यानाम नहि कश्चिन् व्यपाश्रया वासुदेवे भगवते भक्तिम उद्वाहतम निदाम ज्ञान वैराग्य वीर्यानाम नहि कश्चिन् व्यपाश्रया Vasudeve. To Lord Vasudev, Krishna, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhaktim, love and faith in devotional service, Udbahatam, for those who are carrying, Minam, men, Jnana Vairagya, of real knowledge and detachment, Biryanam, possessing the powerful strength, Na, not, he, indeed, Kaschit, anything, Yapashaya, as interest or shelter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudev, Krishna, have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this material world. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in the so-called happiness or so-called distress of this world. Everyone can please repeat. Persons engaged in devotional service to Lord Vasudev, Krishna, have naturally perfect knowledge and detachment from this material world. Therefore, such devotees are not interested in so-called happiness or so-called distress of this world. Purport. Here is a distinction between a devotee and a philosopher who speculates on the subject matter of transcendence. A devotee does not need to cultivate knowledge to understand the falsity or temporary existence of this material world. Because of his unalloyed devotion to Vasudev, this knowledge and detachment are automatically manifested in his person. As confirmed elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.7, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Paryojitaha Kyat Yasu Bhairagyam Jnanam Chaitukam. When one engages in unalloyed devotional service to Vasudev Krishna, automatically becomes aware of this material world, and therefore he is naturally detached. This detachment is possible because of his high standard of knowledge. The speculative philosopher tries to understand that this material world is false by cultivating knowledge. But this understanding is automatically manifested in the person of a devotee without separate endeavor. The Mayavadi philosophers may be very proud of their so-called knowledge, but because they do not understand Vasudev, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, they do not understand the world of duality, which is a manifestation of Vasudev's external energy. Therefore, unless the so-called jnanis take shelter of Vasudev, their speculative knowledge is imperfect. They simply think of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. But because they do not take shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva, their knowledge is impure. When they actually become pure, they surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudeva. Therefore, the absolute truth is easier to understand for a devotee than for jnanis who simply speculate to understand Vasudeva. Lord Shiva confirms this statement in the following verse. Om Jnana Timinandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Shva Padantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashvati Gaudavakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I pray to the assembled Vaishnavas and August Assembly of Senior Devotees that I can say something in your service. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by emphasizing the difference between the process for a devotee and the process for a jnani or a yogi, who are engaged in so many difficult things. Glesho dikataraste sham avyakta vyakta chetta sam avyakta higatir sham. Krishna says that dehavadbhir avapyate, that for one who is embodied in this material world, and for anyone, of course, the ones who are embodied are the ones who are struggling to go back home, back to Godhead. The process of cultivating knowledge and austerities and penances, this was Arjuna's question. What's better, devotion or cultivating knowledge, austerities and penances? And Krishna said, that's a very difficult thing. His Holiness Devamrita Swami the other day made the point that that for the intricacies, the complexities of Krishna's lila, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and at the same time, acting so simply, in such a simple way as a child, that Lord Brahma became bewildered. Lord Brahma, who is delivering the original knowledge from Krishna to the parampara, became bewildered. Of course, these bewilderments are arranged by Krishna so that we can understand the danger of maya, the danger of becoming bewildered. So this complexity is not so difficult for a devotee to understand the how Krishna can be in charge of the three worlds of unlimited universes and at the same time be very playing like a child in Vrindavan. And even Queen Kunti, especially in relation to Damodar Lila, since this is the month of Damodar, she said, Gopyadhadhe, that the pastimes with this gopi, Tvaye Kritagasi Dhamadavan, when she showed him a rope, when she tried to tie up the Lord with a rope, Ate Dasashu Kalilangjana Sambramaksham. And the fact that seeing this, his mother in this mood, he became so crying and rubbing his eyes and expressing great fear and anxiety. Vaktram niniya vaya bhavanaya stitasya. And then, putting his head down in fear and anxiety, she said, samam vimohayati virapi yad bibheti. That this is very bewildering to me, because fear personified is afraid of Krishna. Fear, who Lord Kapiladev says, mittus charati madbhayat, that even death is afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the potencies of the universe are afraid. Madbhayat vativato yam, the wind, the power of the wind, the power of the Surya, Surya's tapati madbhayat. All these powerful manifestations of material nature are afraid of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is afraid of Mother Yashoda. So this is, we can understand this as devotees. Understand to a certain point. But the complexities of Krishna's Leela. First, I wanted to speak a little bit about the complexities of this Leela, Chitraketu. In previous verses, we see the complexity manifested, social complexity, the complexity of Guru Varga, or how one is situated according to superiors and inferiors. This was all brought out in this pastime. Chitraketu, he saw Lord Shiva embracing his wife in the assembly of saintly persons. And he thought, this is not appropriate. So there were two things going on there. He was thinking as a devotee. He was thinking that if Lord Shiva gives this type of example, of course he's a great personality. But if he gives this type of example, then other people, when they see it, they will take it casually. And if they see this type of behavior, they will become offenders. And then they will not get his mercy. They will be bereft of the opportunity to advance in spiritual life. He was thinking like this. And Lord Vishnu was thinking, I want my devotee to come back to me. That he's engaged in all kinds of heavenly pleasures. And he's not forgetting me. But when you're engaged in heavenly pleasures, although he's glorifying me, and he's my pure devotee, but still there's some distraction. And at the same time, the Lord was thinking that he's become a little proud, thinking that he can instruct Lord Shiva. Although his sentiment is all right, he should not. You cannot instruct superior personalities. So all these intricacies and interactions are going on. And Parvati is thinking, he insulted my husband. I'm going to chastise him. So all these things are going on. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, there was one young boy and he was coming and he was very attracted to Krishna. And he even looked like Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya would give him so much affection and speak to him and embrace him. But his mother was a young widow, very beautiful young widow. And so Damodar Pandit, he thought, he spoke to the Lord, my Lord, my dear Lord, you are the Supreme Person, you can do anything you want. But, that but was not very good. But it's not good that you're instructing this young boy, because his mother, very beautiful young widow woman, if anyone sees you with this boy, they'll think, they may think in the wrong way. He didn't even know how to say that part properly. And Lord Chaitanya, very with not very happily, said, "All right." No. And he didn't see the boy anymore. But later on, Lord Chaitanya said, "So I think you should go to Navadvip." No. "You should go to Navadvip, and when you're there, see my mother and tell her that I'm very happy, because by seeing me very happy, she will be very happy." And but actually he was letting Damodar Pandit know, "You don't instruct superiors. No. You don't instruct superior devotees." No. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example with Ramachandra Puri. No. He was so offensive. He was offensive to Madhavendra Puri. But Lord Chaitanya showed him externally the proper respect, no, of, that one should show to superiors. No. So all these things are going on, no, with Chitraketu. And then even though he was thinking one way, and he didn't give up that thought pattern very easily, because when Parvati chastises him, no, but at the same time addresses him as a son, no, then after she explains, you know, that she's going to curse him and to straighten him out, to give him mercy, and Srila Prabhupada explained, this is the duty of material nature. The material energy is mercifully bringing all of us closer to Krishna, but in a very roundabout way. Just like if you start from Vrindavan and you go to Delhi, you can go west, northwest, and it's very quick. Or you can go southeast and go all the way around the world and come around. No, very indirect. So Maya is taking that, you're sending everyone on the indirect path. No. But she's also merciful. But then Chitraketu said, "Dear mother, don't think that I'm going to ask for your mercy or your pardon. Don't think that I'm going to ask for this. Because, just as Lord Shiva is saying here, happiness and distress have no meaning for me." No. But actually, he had said previously, he already justified. In other words, the Lord wanted him to go through this whole arrangement so that he could come back home, back to Godhead. And then Parvati thought, when he appeared so indifferent, "I'll take birth. I accept your curse on my head. It's good for me." Because he still had this little degree of pride. One may think, how can a pure devotee have pride? Well, these are arrangements of the Supreme Lord. No. Sometimes the Lord is displeased through his pure devotees, just like Sudam Vipra. Many times I give this example. Sudam Vipra, he went to see Krishna. Krishna worshipped him because he loved so much his devotee. And they were friends. And then, begrudgingly, Sudam had to surrender his broken, poor quality rice. No. And Krishna accepted it. One grain, two grain. Then Rukmini said, "No more. Otherwise, how can I repay him? No, there's no. I won't have anything to repay him. You're so satisfied." Then they spoke and spoke, and then Sudam left the next day, and on the way home he was thinking, "Krishna didn't give me anything. I came here on the request of my wife to bring something back, but he didn't give me anything." So Krishna's so wonderful. He knows. No? He was thinking. He wasn't thinking, "Why didn't he give me something? Now what will my wife say? No, how will I deal with her?" And that can be a big problem, as any grihastha may testify. No. But she was actually concerned about him. She wasn't even thinking of herself. She wasn't thinking, "Let me have nice," like generally we can find in conditioned man and wife relationship, there's a battle going on, who can control, no. But she was thinking about him. But that wasn't even his concern. He thought, "Krishna knows I would be bewildered." No. Then when he got home, of course he had a He couldn't even recognize the place, palaces, lakes. He couldn't even recognize his wife. No. But Krishna was thinking, my devotee has defeated me. No. This is the whole idea of the Damodar Leela. Krishna is defeated by his devotee. Because Krishna was thinking, Sudam, he gave me more than he had. No. Otherwise he had to take something. He didn't have anything, so he gave me more than he had. But I can't give him more than I have because that doesn't exist. No. So therefore he is defeated. No. So this kind of wonderful interchange goes on between the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No. So I just wanted to go into that, the intricacies. So because there are so many intricacies, Krishna's Leela, although Krishna appears and he is eternally situated in very simple, apparently very simple. No? Sometimes we think too simply about Krishna. No? Because Sri Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and all of his writings, he explains the intricacies of the interchange of loving relationships, the intricacies of prema bhakti. Those intricacies are very, very deep. No? So because there are intricacies in the origin, there are intricacies in the reflection. No? And therefore, as Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the beginning of his purport, that philosophers, no, what to speak of scientists? And Lord Brahma was praying to Krishna that even if scientists could understand how many snowflakes are falling from the sky, how many particles of sand there is in the desert, on the beach, or in the world, no, how many? If they could count how many atoms there are, they could never understand the extent of your glories. That's the intricacy of Krishna. And so that's reflected here. And that the scientists, they're looking for the smallest thing. No? They're so foolish. Of course, Krishna is the smallest, but they can't even understand. They're looking for, let me find the, first they found molecules, then they found atoms, then they found electrons and neutrons and protons, then they found pi mesons, and then they found this and that, and now they're looking for the God particle. That's how they denominate the God particle. Otherwise, that irreducible element. No? But Krishna is the irreducible element. You cannot reduce Krishna. Krishna only increases. He doesn't reduce. No? Even when he becomes the smallest, even when he becomes a cowherd boy, no one can understand the greatness of his glory. And the greatness of his glories are reflected in the pastime of this Damodar month, which I speak a little bit about in relation to all this. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested, Ramananda Roy, to instruct him, he said, "You are my Rasa Guru. I'm just a Mayavad Sannyasi. I don't know anything about these subject matters." Of course, Ramananda said, "No, I am your veena, and you are the musician. You just play me as you like." No, so. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he said, "Please tell me the goal of life." So Ramananda Roy went through so many things. No, Varnashram, Niskama Karma Yoga, surrender. No, the blissfulness of Brahman. No. All these things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarily rejected everything. No. And then finally, the threshold, he came to the threshold of bhakti. No. When he said, "Jnane paryasan udapasya namanta eva." That when someone gives up the endeavor for knowledge, trying to figure out this world, no, even sometimes as devotees, we become, somebody sees a National Geographic, or we become, the intricacies of this world are very interesting. All these species of life, we see something, phenomena. Just like Srila Prabhupada when he was in Andhra Pradesh, one devotee, he said, Srila Prabhupada, because Andhra Pradesh, you know, it's very rocky, like a rocky mountain, very rocky mountains with a lot of rocks. So one devotee who was from California, he said, Srila Prabhupada, this looks just like California. You know? And Prabhupada said, yes, everything to you will look like California. You know? Because in California they have this same type of mountain. You know? And then Prabhupada said, and to me everything looks like Vrindavan. No, so that's the difference in point of view. No. So trying to, you know, this world is very fascinating if you're not Krishna conscious. No. And if you're Krishna conscious, it's not very interesting. Another time Srila Prabhupada was walking on the Venice beach, and one devotee, of course the sun comes up to the east and that's over the mountain, so sun came up and he said, Srila Prabhupada, it's very beautiful. And Prabhupada said, no. And he said, but Prabhupada, isn't it a reflection of Krishna's beauty? Prabhupada said, yes, but you are not seeing like that. No. You're seeing it as beautiful because, you know, it's materially beautiful. No. So the point I wanted to make is that, you know, we may see devotional service, no, in a certain way, and we may try to approach it as is being condemned here, no, by knowledge, cultivation of knowledge. This speaks about cultivation of knowledge, jnana vairagya biryanam. No. And Srila Prabhupada quotes the famous verse in his purport, no, that jnana vairagya, that when Vasudeva Bhagavati jnana vairagya, when one has Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. Prayojitaha means when one is understands that the goal is Bhakti Yoga, no? Or when one understands that the full manifestation of Krishna consciousness comes from simply by performing devotional service, then vairagya and jnana, they happen automatically. No? Automatically. And of course, the qualifier in that particular verse, ahetukam. Ahetukam means that not mixed bhakti, but ahetukam. Bhakti without any, when there's bhakti without any motivation, without any material consideration, then knowledge and renunciation will manifest. Otherwise, if we're approaching bhakti, then yes, knowledge can be a good instrument. Vairagya, we practice vairagya. Srila Prabhupada encouraged us, follow the four regulative principles. You know, try to eat necessary and sleep necessary, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. No, don't, no excess. So, some jnana, no, we accept bhakti jnana, but all of our jnana and all of our vairagya is related to devotional service. It's not related to anything else. Therefore, when it's a haituki, when there's no other motive, when we don't cultivate knowledge to so that people will think, yes, oh, he's very knowledgeable, or she's very knowledgeable, or very renounced. As Rupa Goswami said, that too much renunciation can become an obstacle in devotional service. Distraction. No. The six Goswamis, when Srila Prabhupada was one time coming back from his morning walk in Los Angeles, no, many devotees would follow him, and at the door, at the entrance to the temple, he would get Maha Prasadam sweet. And of course, everybody else would line up because they would also get Maha Prasadam sweet. No. But then one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, why did the six Goswamis, they were so austere? If one is supposed to take Mahaprasadam when it's available, why didn't they just go for Mahaprasadam? And Prabhupada said, they are eating with Krishna. No. They're eating with Krishna. They don't, no. They're taking Mahaprasadam all the time. No. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. He complained. One day he woke up and he complained that my stomach is hurting. So much pain in my stomach. And his assistant went to get the Kaviraj. And Kaviraj came and he analyzed him and said, indigestion. And his assistant said, "Huh? He can have indigestion. He eats a palmful of food every day. If anything, it would be hunger pains, not indigestion." "No, indigestion. I'm an expert. This is indigestion." So Raghunath Das said, "I have to admit that last night I was dreaming. Krishna, he was fed such a great feast by Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Such a feast, so many preparations. And then after he finished, they offered me the remnants. And I took so many remnants." So he had indigestion. No. But if we get Mahaprasadam, we can take some. Not the whole plate. No, just a little bit will do. Honor Mahaprasadam, not gulp down Mahaprasadam. So, the point is that a devotee is not interested in cultivating jnana. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadhiyavartam. Because devotees are engaged in speaking the topics, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Stitastane shrutigatam tanavan manobhir. With their mind, their body, their words, every effort, every thought, they are, however they're situated, grihasthas, brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprasthas, whatever their situation may be, they're simply trying to glorify Krishna. And because of that, because they've taken this position, they can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unconquerable in the three worlds. That is their ability. A devotee, as Lord Vishnu said to Durvasa Muni when he approached him, and he said, "Please, the Sudarshan Chakra is pursuing me. Please, my Lord, take away your Sudarshan Chakra." And Vishnu said, "I'm sorry. I can't do it. Aham bhakta paradino yasvatantri bhad jija." That, my dear Brahman, although the Brahmins are very dear to me, and I want to facilitate them, that's what he was saying, but I am under the control of my devotee. Totally under his control. Sarubhir grashta hridayo. That I have no independence before my devotee. Totally under their control. And bhaktar bhakta jana priyaha. And what to speak of the devotee of my devotee? No. The devotee of my devotee, I'm totally under their control. Therefore, I'm sorry, I cannot facilitate you. No. And why? Because my devotee, why is he so dear to me? Because all my enjoyment, all my pleasure comes from my devotees. Even in the spiritual world, myself being Atmaram, totally self-sufficient, I cannot enjoy even my own spiritual opulence without my devotees. And my devotees have given up everything. Their home, their family, their wealth, and their very lives, just to worship me. Therefore, my devotee, so special. So this is the position of the Lord. And therefore, Lord Shiva here is glorifying Chitraketu. That he's on this platform. Even though the Lord is making an arrangement, because Lord Shiva could see what was happening in this curse, and so he's explaining to Parvati, who was a little bewildered, that how can he just accept the curse and fly off and say, "Okay, when I die, I'll become a demon, no problem." And Lord Shiva is explaining that for a devotee, who doesn't even need to cultivate knowledge, renunciation, or anything, because these things automatically come. As Krishna says, no vedishu jagyasu tapasu jaiva dhanishu punyapalam padistam, that all the results of sacrifice, austerities, penances, charity, and fruitive activities, atyatiyam sarvam ayatiyat sarvam ditva, that in one step the devotee surpasses all these things. Yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. Therefore, my devotee, he is the greatest yogi, he is the greatest personality, because just by serving me, no, he accomplishes all these things. So, Chitraketu, he is being glorified by Lord Shiva, no, that this is the position of a devotee. So, what time is it, Maharaj? I don't know.
10 minutes,
okay. So, I wanted to take a little bit this, what's happening here to Chitraketu, because Srila Prabhupada, some purports back, he makes the comparison that just as Parvati chastises Chitraketu as a son, in the same way Yashoda Mai chastises Krishna, because he's taken that position as her son, eternally. So she, this whole Damodar Leela is based on this wonderful thing, this wonderful aspect of bhakti, that a devotee can, not only can a devotee control, because a devotee doesn't want to control Krishna, a devotee wants to serve Krishna, but that service, when it is done with such a degree of faith and devotion. No? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, explaining the intricacy of different levels of devotion, because we have different levels of devotion. No? Just like Mother Yashoda, her level of devotion, parental, Srila Prabhupada says, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, that there is no degree of affection that is greater than the affection of Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj. No. On the level of affection, no one can be more affectionate. No. The gopis, they have another type of loving exchange. But as far as affection, no. So great, no. So great that in the Damodar Leela described in the Bhagavatam, it says that Mother Yashoda, when she was running after Krishna, no, that when she finally captured him, it's something that even yogis, no, apa yoginam kshamam pravishtum tapasaritam manaha, even with all the austerities that they practice within their mind, they can never achieve that position that Mother Yashoda has achieved, no. And the same later on in that chapter, no? Famous verse, no, that nayam sukapo bhagavan, that the devotion of Mother Yashoda, or the devotion that a devotee has for Krishna, no, dehinam gopika sutta, that those who are embodied, no. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said those who are embodied include those who were mentioned previously, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, no. Otherwise, those who are jnaninam chatmabhutanam, even the greatest personalities in the universe cannot achieve what a devotee, no, yata bhakti matam iha, what a devotee can achieve in this world, no, by simply worshipping Krishna with love and devotion. This is the nature of that loving exchange. And even deeper than that, no, Uddhava, at the when after seeing the love of the gopis and hearing the song of the bee from Srimati Radharani. Hearing this, he said, even Lakshmi Devi has never experienced the embrace that the gopis get from the arms of Krishna. What to speak of the goddesses of the heavenly planets and ordinary women within this world? They could never understand the depth of surrender of these gopis. And therefore, he says that, let me take birth, let me take birth as a creeper or a plant or an herb in Vrindavan. Vrindavane kimapi gulma alatao shantainam. Let me take birth in this way so that I can get this charana renu tusham, so that I can get the dust from the feet of these gopis. Because ya duscha jam, they have given up swajanam, the reputation before their family. Arya patam chahitva, they have given up the path of righteousness or chastity. And bejur mukunda padavim, just to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They've given up everything. Who can compare? Shuti bir vimrigjam. That so much so that that which is pursued by the Vedas, that which is pursued by the yogis, that which is pursued by all great personalities, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is totally under their control. And then, so these are intricacies of bhakti. This is the point, that bhakti, although we can understand to some degree, the intricacies become greater and greater. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking with Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, he was feeling so much distress from separation, saying that, I saw Krishna, I got a glimpse of Krishna, but then because of the happiness that it caused and the influence of Cupid, he went away. Otherwise, what is he saying? That there's no question of trying to enjoy Krishna. No. I just wanted to see him. But when the enjoyment came into my heart, he went away. And then he said, now I have to reveal to you my position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That actually, it's impossible to fully manifest prema bhakti in this world, that pure devotion. It's impossible. Because the effects of separation from Krishna are so great that one cannot maintain one's life. Therefore, it is impossible to really experience separation from Krishna to the fullest extent in this world. And then he said, therefore, I have to admit that everything, this devotion that I'm showing is just theatrical. No, it's just a show. No, because I'm maintaining my body. No, I'm maintaining my body within this world. And therefore, it indicates that I have no love for Krishna. I'm just a performance. No, nothing else. Of course, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us how to worship Krishna, but he's also showing us that it's nothing external, that it's not something cheap, it's not something that we can demonstrate. Sri Vrindavan Dham is a place to cultivate pure devotional service, but no, we can't take it cheaply. No, we have to come to this holy Dham, especially those who come, and especially those who live here. No, we have to understand the mood of Vrindavan. It's a mood, as Uddhava said, Bejar Mukunda Padavim. No, it's total absorption in worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who will liberate us from all material existence if we can just achieve that position. So therefore, the intricacies of pure devotion are something that we have to keep cultivating and cultivating and cultivating. You know, we can't just take a simplistic view, although it's very simple. Chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna Prasadam, dance and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to continue to develop our devotional service, our bhakti, is an ongoing endeavor. And just to conclude, that is the whole purpose of the two fingers, you know. That Mother Yashoda was always coming up short, two fingers, you know. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said, this is bhakta nishta and swanishta. This is the parishramam of the devotee and the Krishna kripa, or Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, Krishna gives his mercy. No. First, because none of us can come to devotional service without the mercy of Krishna coming through his devotees. No. But then, you have to make your endeavor. No. If you don't make an endeavor, just like King Pratapa Rudra, no? He was so fortunate that he had Ramananda Roy, who was the intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please accept him. No? And Mahaprabhu said, oh, if he has that much devotion, Krishna will be merciful to him soon. No? Yeah. So he said that. But it was until Pratapa Rudra made his endeavor to show that I want to receive that mercy by humbly sweeping in front of Lord Jagannath. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him full mercy. So Krishna is giving his mercy. But that full endeavor, just like Mother Yashoda, when she made that full endeavor to try to tie him and try to tie him and try to tie him, parishramam, then she got the full mercy of Krishna. So we have so much mercy. Vrindavan Dham is so much mercy. But if we don't make the endeavor to take that mercy, it's like sometimes devotees say, can you give me a blessing? Of course, I probably can't give a blessing to anyone. But I say, the blessings of the saintly persons is hear from them and put into practice what they say. That's the real blessing. Not some magic wand that they, swing over your head, or some dust, you got the mercy. The mercy is, you take that mercy and apply it in your life. The instruction that they give. So these are some points on this verse. It's already time to stop. If there's one quick question, Haribol. Is there a microphone? No microphone? Oh, there it is. Okay. Oh, anyway. Yes, everyone approaches Krishna. No, the question is, generally speaking, we're motivated when we come to Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says, we're all motivated. No, but the purpose is to become unmotivated. And until one becomes unmotivated, then the pure bhakti cannot flow. And therefore, the tendency to depend or to cultivate fruitive activities, to cultivate knowledge and to cultivate renunciation will remain in the heart until we understand what is that unmotivated devotional service. So how do we cultivate unmotivated devotional service by following Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. Otherwise, when one becomes a follower, when one becomes a servant of Guru, Shastra and Sadhu, then there's no motivation. Even though there may be some motivation still there, it's not active. And just like seeds covered by the flood in the rainy season, the seeds gradually, after the flood, water covers it for so much time, then those seeds begin to rot and they have no potency. So the same way, when we cover our motivations by surrendered service to the Vaishnava, then gradually speaking, those motivations dissolve away by doing surrender. Surrender, so the process is surrender. Yes, okay.
You said that a devotee should have a bhav that I don't have prema bhakti since I'm maintaining this body. And thinking about this, if some devotee becomes very austere, he does not. But you again said that too much renunciation is could be dangerous for devotional service.
So if I understand the question properly, that because jnana and vairagya automatically come, as we heard, from devotional service, but a devotee is cultivating them, does that stop him from pure devotional service? Is that the question? Or did I understand it properly?
Too much renunciation is...
too much renunciation, yes.
Be a distraction in devotional
service. Yes, yes.
So if one lives a renounced life and becomes austere, then again he said that he should have a feeling that
yes, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing us. The question is that I said too much renunciation can become a distraction, but if a devotee becomes very renounced, then does that enter into conflict with the cultivation of devotional service? No. It's a product, It's a product, just like in the Bhagavatam, it says bhakti parishanu bhavo biraktir anyatra, that these three things happen simultaneously but progressively, because if you start out with vairagya, then you may not get the taste. So bhakti, just like these things are simultaneous, that pushti tushti kshud apayo, that just like when we eat, first there's taste. You taste. If it doesn't taste good, then you might not get nutrition from it. No, that's why being a good cook is a good way to serve the Vaishnavas. And not being a good cook, better you don't do it, because you won't please the Vaishnavas. So. But first you get taste, then you get nourishment, and then you're free from hunger. So getting the taste for bhakti. Srila Prabhupada said once, just engage the new, talking about new people, engage them in chanting the holy name. Then when they get a taste, then you can apply the rules and regulations. So if we start applying the rules and regulations, first somebody comes to the temple, you can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do this, and then they're just, especially nowadays, they'll just go away. But we give them a taste, Krishna prasadam, dancing, chanting, being happy, finding a relief from material activities, that spiritual life is the actual purpose of life. And then when they get a taste, as Srila Prabhupada said in his famous 1972 letter to Karanda Prabhu, don't be so anxious that people join the temple. Let them first come and hear Bhagavad Gita and develop a taste for austerity. And then, otherwise they will go away frustrated. So, the point is that these things will happen automatically. If we just cultivate devotional service, following the process, following the parampara, as Devamrita Swami said the other day, this is our technology. Technology of parampara can awaken unlimited levels of bhakti in the heart of the devotee. but trying to do it by an ascending process of knowledge, renunciation, and everything, then we just become distracted and bhakti cannot manifest. So anyway, it's a little late. We'll stop here. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Bindi ki jai, Dai Gaur Premanandi.